It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Not every day you get to meet a TV star. Somewhat today. I'll explain, trust me. So Chris Tribble, who you all probably know by now from Versatile Productions in Carbondale and the True Media Foundation, is here. And the star, Craig Stifter.
That's me.
And the show, it actually premieres this Saturday on Channel 6 or Rocky Mountain PBS, whatever channel you may have on cable or wherever. It's called P2R, Picking to Repurpose. So, Craig, first of all, you're from Chicago.
Yes.
So people are going to pick up on the accent if I don't say anything. So we should get that out of the way right now.
Let's do that.
How do you get from Chicago to Redstone?
I blame it on my parents. Easiest thing to do. My dad came out here 1958 after playing in his second Rose Bowl for University of Iowa. Both are avid skiers. So he drove out here, not with my mom at that time. He drove out here on Highway 6 in his MG in the middle of the winter.
Right.
Because he heard
before
about
Before I-70.
Yeah, before I-70. He heard about that Aspen powder before anybody knew what Aspen powder was. So he got out here, loved the area. They got involved out here in the 1960s, right about when I was born. And that's the history.
And the rest, yeah.
And the rest. And I don't want to bore the audience with any more of that.
All right. So when did you come up with the idea for this show, again, that premieres on PBS this Saturday?
Several years ago, I had to come back up here. I've been involved out in Colorado, but I had to come back up to the store and help my dad out and my mom out because they're aging and my dad needed some help.
The store.
Oh, sorry. Let's talk about the store. See, I'm just assuming the audience knows about all this. It's called Tiffany of Redstone, up in Redstone.
Okay.
And my parents have been at that location since 1999. And I came up to help my dad out, and I said to him, I go, Dad, you know, you've been in the antique business with mom all my life. But I go, antiques doesn't have that same brand awareness as it used to. I go, people hear antiques, they say, well, that's that stuff in a museum or grandma has that we can't touch. I go, we're going to take this in a little new direction, vintage stuff. And I go, then we're going to talk about repurposing. And he goes, what's repurposing? And I tell him, he goes, Craig, we've been doing that all our life. So I go, well, let's market it correctly. And I said, I'm coming up with this concept, picking a repurpose with a TV show. And he liked it. But, you know, as with life is, my dad passed away. I had to take care of buildings up there that they own. And finally, this year, or last year, actually, Chris and I were proving out the concept. But this year, RM, Rocky Mountain PBS, picked us up. So that's, as you'll see, I could tell stories too long, Gabe. So,
no, that's fine. It makes my job easy.
Oh, good.
So exactly what do you, I mean, I assume everybody has either seen or is familiar with, like, the Antiques Roadshow.
Right.
Right. Because it feels a little similar in the 30-second intro clip that I saw on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It feels somewhat similar.
I think the one difference here, Gabe, is, and I say to people that come in the store, they go, you're going to be like the Antiques Roadshow or like American Pickers. And I go, that's a good observation. But I go, the big difference is, you know, you watch Mike and Frank and American Pickers, they pick for monetary potential. You know, they're going to talk about what they bought it for and what they're going to sell it for. You will see me and Deborah Taylor, she's my co-host on the show, you'll see us pick for creative potential. We're not going to talk about, oh, it's worth this much. We want to find these unique vintage items and give them a new life, repurpose them, or as I say, reimagine them in a new context. And then what Chris and I found out is, yeah, we got to pick purpose and placement. And Chris will tell you, I like these three P's or three S's. I always have quick acronyms, but I go, we tested, we did the pick, the purpose, but we find out the placement is the big thing. People come in the store because they like to see how we pull the look together, and they get ideas for how they can do it in their house.
So is all of this based around the store in Redstone?
Not all of it. That, okay. We'll go there in certain episodes, but you're going to see us up and down the Roaring Fork Valley, up to Crystal Valley, and in other parts of western Colorado, including in the first season, Palisade. So we love Colorado, and that is, I would say, the silent but largest character in the show because you get to see the beauty of Colorado, and that's what we love.
Well, and for folks that are listening here, see some places that you would recognize.
Exactly. They're going to see that, and that's what's fantastic. You're going to feel this comfort. you're going to, you know, as I say, you're going to want to just jump in our old truck and go with us because you're going to be like, I know that. Let's go do it.
What is that? I'm not an expert in that. Is that an old Ford?
It's an old 53 Jeep Willys.
Okay.
So we like that because in this business, you see people that are going to find an old Ford or Chevy truck.
Everybody right now is shaking their head at their radio, by the way. So I'm sorry I did not know.
Let's picture this blue old Jeep Willys. But I like it because it's four-wheel drive and it has more of a mountain look to it.
Well, and the whole point of the show is, you know, antiques and older stuff, so it kind of fits as well.
Right, right.
So, again, we mentioned those other couple shows that, you know, have this huge following, and their intent is, you know, to make money, and obviously people are into it because, I mean, they've been on for how many years?
Oh, a long time.
Long time. Yes. Long time. So what is the end? What is your end game? What is your intent with this show?
You sound like a venture capitalist, Gabe. Like, I'm asking you for money. You're like, Craig,
where do you see yourself in 5 years?
How am I going to get my money back? What's your exit strategy? And that, I won't go there. That's my past life in high tech. But I go, you know what? I love what I'm doing. My mom and dad shared this with me all my life, and I want to share this with the public. And also, I said, bring this into their life. So my end game is no end game, you might say, per se. Just share what I'm doing. Show them that we can take what people will consider junk. And what people think junk is, you take it to the dump. No, it isn't. You can take this old stuff and bring it into your life, speaks to who you are, and be sustainable.
Is there a limit to the age of the items? And by that, I'm not saying what is too old. I'm saying what is too new to really be represented.
Good
on,
question.
On the show.
Because you'll see some of the stuff we do. We'll take an old component, maybe an old drawer from the 1920s. Then I'll have an old top, maybe from the 1950s. But then I got to marry them together, and I'm like, how am I going to make this base for a table? I got to go get some new steel and weld it up. So there is really no age limit. It's a blend. You see how you can bring the things together and they complement each other.
It's like the Piltdown Man of furniture.
Yes.
Okay, if you actually got that joke, then I am very impressed. So how did Chris come into this? Obviously, I mean, Chris is well known in the area. I mean, I've known him for years. He has, we don't even have time to talk about his resume.
No.
But did you know Chris personally?
A long time, probably since about 2004.
Okay.
And I needed somebody, let's say, I could trust. I went out and pitched this idea to a lot of production houses, and more or less they said no. So I thought, I know Chris, and he knows me, so we can really get this out of my head and onto the screen, which was tough, but Chris, I could work with him on it.
It's kind of what he does.
Yes.
Really. I mean.
Well, Craig was in my, he sat on the board for the True Media Foundation for years.
Okay.
So that's how we met, and his expertise was definitely in the high-tech world before he became he's always been a second-generation junker, but
nice
before
name.
He blended those together to do what he does today, and I was pretty impressed by that.
See, the interesting thing, thankfully, both my parents are still alive. They've been going through this, I don't know if I would call it nesting, the cleaning up stage. So when my grandma passed away about 6 years ago, my mom, of course, and my stepdad had to clean up her house and everything that they had amassed over, I don't know, 60 years in the same house, 70 years. And so my mom decided she was going to clean everything out because she didn't want me to have to deal with the same kind of thing.
Yep.
And I'm thinking from the standpoint of, wait a minute, there might be some of that stuff I want to save.
Does she know you very well or what?
Well, it happens to everybody.
She has seen my office a time or two. So, again, you know, it's so interesting. Normally we have this very clear call to action. You know, donate here, go here, learn more here, go to this event. In this case, it's pretty simple. Just turn on Channel 6 or I forget what the Grand Junction affiliate channel is, but it's Rocky Mountain PBS.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rocky Mountain PBS, 4 o'clock this Saturday afternoon, and check out the first episode of Picking to Repurpose. Or look, I guess in this day and age, you know, we used to say, look for it in your TV guide.
Right. Where is that paper thing?
But search your guide for it either on, you know, satellite if you have get PBS there. Do they have a stream as well? Can you watch online?
That's what I was going to say, Gabe. You could also, they updated their app, PBS National updated their app, so it's more like YouTube. So you could access, you could drive down from the National app and get local content.
Okay.
Or you could go to their website, RM for Rocky Mountain, PBS.org. And they'll have all their local content there to view. So you could watch it the old-fashioned way when it comes on at that time, or you could fit it into your life anytime you want after that initial broadcast.
Gotcha. We'll talk more about the actual content of the show when we come back, and of course about the process for putting all this together. It's video is kind of like lights from a stage, you know, perspective. If it's something you don't do, it's like magic. So I can't wait to hear how this all came together. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Chris Tribble from... So the context of today, is it Versatile Productions?
Versatile Productions,
okay,
yes.
Okay, all right. And Craig Stifter, again, he is one of two hosts of Picking to Repurpose, which you can see this Saturday afternoon, Rocky Mountain PBS, 4 o'clock, rmpbs.org. Deborah Taylor is the other host. Would you consider each other co-hosts?
Oh,
or?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So it's not like Mythbusters where you've got the build team, but then you've got the main.
No.
Okay, okay.
And see, if
okay.
I said that and she's not here, she would wring my neck. But I think it's great, Gabe, because I thought about doing this myself, but you do need a co-host. Mm. And our chemistry, and that's what people are going to love on the show. We banter a lot, you might say, but it's real. It's not reality. It's real.
I've often wondered... particularly, I guess, with Mythbusters and similar type shows, yeah, Antiques Roadshow, mm-hmm. a lot of it feels unscripted. Is what you have done for Picking to Repurpose, is it unscripted, or do you start with a concept, or how does that work? I'm imagining Chris following the two of you around for, you know, months and months and months.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I guess you don't actually use tape anymore, right? It's all like data of some kind, so a yeah. hard drive. But I'm just thinking memory card after memory card after memory card of all this stuff, and how do you keep track of it?
Well, that's what we had to prove out. We wanted to keep the real thing, you know. Let's say like off the cuff, what comes out is natural. We don't want it scripted, but we have to have a framework. We have to know what we're doing that day, where we're at, and the general idea how we're going to do the shoots. But we don't want to script it to a T, because especially with Deb, and she'll tell you, do not tell me what to say. I'll pull it out and have it come out. And that's what we like about it. People are going to be like, how did they come up with that, what they're saying?
Right. And I think that's the part of it is it's a challenge, actually, and but it's real, and I think that is a challenge because it isn't scripted. They have concepts in their head, but they don't even let me know exactly what it is until we're on the set a lot of times. So when we're on the set, we have a couple cameras, so we can cover things where we don't have to go back and do it again. So it makes it real. It's different. It's different that way because it is off the cuff and it's real. And but it makes it a challenge in a lot of ways for post-production, that type of thing.
So you're not doing the reaction, the cutaway reaction shot.
No. You'll just see reactions every other minute in there, it seems like.
How many episodes have they agreed to air on Rocky Mountain PBS?
What do we have, Chris?
6 episodes.
And
a 7th one, that a Christmas show that, you know, maybe.
So will this be weekly or?
Yes, weekly.
Okay. So every Saturday afternoon?
Every Saturday. I think the way it goes with PBS is then they have the option to do like old school, you know, replay them again.
Reruns.
Reruns, yes.
Sure. So if you enjoyed watching Picking to Repurpose, you can help support this program. If you'll only sign up to be a member for, yeah.
Well, you don't know. You know, Craig could be on that show and be giving away some ski bikes or something to raise money for PBS. Yeah. You never know.
There you go. That's
true. He's got some great ideas about that.
Or he could become the next Doctor Who, you know?
Oh, yes. I'm a science fiction fan. I did have my scarf out there, a long one, so I could be like Tom Baker.
Oh, that's I believe he was Doctor Who when I was a kid.
Yes,
when he was. Back in the 80s?
Exactly. Yeah. That's when I found him out, actually, on PBS.
You and me both. Mm-hmm. The same time. What else was on the Edison Twins? Anyway.
We could go on a tangent for a while.
Yes, we could. And we're getting off topic here just a little bit. So 6 episodes have already been produced. They're already put together. They're already ready to go.
4 are put together, ready to go. They're at PBS now, and we're working on the last 2 episodes.
That's the thing that is so interesting to me is all of the legwork, getting stuff done in advance. You know, you're a month ahead, basically, right?
It's not an easy thing to do, especially, you know, with a lot of moving parts and a lot of weather issues. It's a little bit overwhelming sometimes because you know you have to shoot, but you can't shoot everything in one day. So connecting the dots from show 1, you're shooting show episode 3, but that day you're shooting part of episode 1, and so it took time to put all these episodes together because you're just not shooting from A to B to C to D and you're done. So
and keeping track of all that, the organization, you know, okay, yeah, we're ahead of ourselves, but we know we're going to make a reference to this later on,
so
we have to make sure that. And of course, on a big movie, you'll have like the continuity department, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which, of course, they're not perfect either. Otherwise, IMDb would not have that whole section.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. No, that's a tough part, Gabe, because we have to watch that because when we went into filming, we had the idea of the episodes, the order which we wanted them aired. But then we were doing some minor adjustments based, like Chris said, while filming, we're like, now wait a minute here. We might not want that number two episode. We'll make it number 3, but we have to make sure what we're saying in number 2 will work in number 3.
Or if you're referring back to something that already happened that you haven't actually filmed yet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that continuity thing is a big thing. And we're not like, I said, this show, I like to say, is out in left field. Most of the productions, they have a standard recipe. So it's easy for them to do the continuity. Mm. For us, it's creativity. And when you get in creativity, you get into chaos. And that's when you start making mistakes, but it's good getting out there. But that's a fine line to walk on.
That's what we learned. And we have Tara Martellaro, which you know. She was a student of mine for True Media since she was 16 years old. She's now coming as one of our producers that helps us stay organized,
keeps us
on schedule, and reminds us of what we may have forgotten to shoot and get it back on the calendar.
So from a lay perspective, would she be the one that's sitting there with the stopwatch?
Well, I wish we would have a stopwatch more. It would help us out.
Yeah, sometimes we're filming too short. Then we're filming, like with Chris yesterday, I'm in the editing room with him. I go, holy cow, that's a lot of content we have here.
Obviously, you can't go over your allotted time, but are they
26:40?
So that's
on the dot.
It has to be exact. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Because I remember when I was a kid, you know, at the end of the Electric Company or whatever, you know, they always had the dead rolls, you know, where they just play the music until they lined up with where the next show was supposed to.
Right.
Not that way anymore.
Mm. No, what did they say with the credits? We only have 30 seconds. And we
30
have to
seconds
follow
of credits, and we have. There's a lot of guidelines to follow.
Wow,
and, so that's been a learning
process. We've broken
process
every
too.
One of them.
Oh yeah,
we've
broken. Like I said to Chris, I think they like what we're doing, so they're giving us maybe some freedom.
Yeah.
But we're not going to push it.
We're all wearing many hats for this to get it off the ground. So it's been quite a summer getting this together.
When did you start?
June on this one, I think. Late May. I mean, actual filming.
Oh, it must have been
late
May, June.
Yeah, we had weather problems.
We had weather problems. So, it was, you know, we had rain, and so we couldn't get out there right away.
That's right, because the weather,
Yeah, so that pushed us back.
Spring was really holding on this year.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then all summer's here, and Craig gets busy, so this isn't his only job.
I got to balance the store because I'm the man there, you might say, with Deb. We're the people that, and that's what they want when they come up to the store is the experience, us. Not just the items, but talking to us.
Walk us through the first episode, if you, and obviously don't give anything away, but give us kind of the idea about this first 26 minutes, 40 seconds.
Ooh. Well, we had to drop the people into, like, drop them into our daily routine. And that includes, you know, coming up with ideas for repurposing stuff and pulling the looks together in the shop. So they're going to drop into that with me showing these, and I won't say what they are, these certain old items, and how we're going to take these certain items and repurpose them into a new final piece. So you go along with that, then you get to meet one of our collaborators, craftsmen that we collaborate with, and that's one thing that's great about the show. Deb and I can't do it all ourselves, so we work with these local people, and I use the term real well, he's a real great character. We won't go any further than that, but you're really going to love him. He fits perfectly. Then we'll be back in the shop, pulling the look together, and in between, you're going to get to see Deb and Craig, their personalities and how they work together, and that's the fun stuff too.
So, Chris, from an outsider looking in on that personality, would you agree with the description there?
Well, I mean, he never runs out of words, and you gotta have a host that can keep things going, and and Craig can keep things going. And if anything, when I say cut, I mean cut. You know what I mean? Craig, that's enough. You know, this is going to be hard enough to edit. You know, take a breath at least to give me some edit points. Yep.
So you're saying the old adage, we'll just fix it in post.
Yes. Well, I've learned a lot from Chris on that. And, you know, with editing, he has to have the transitions. So we have to come in at the beginning of that scene, that segment. And I learned that we got transition in, so he can edit there from the previous scene, then transition out. So that's my learning. I have to say these things, but I have to remember those production things.
Right. And there has to be a well-defined beginning, mm-hmm. middle, and end, right?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. There is.
I'm coming at this from an audio standpoint.
No, but sometimes we're so into the beef of the show that we forget, how do we get into the show?
Right.
So that's part of what we're going through because we're developing a format. But there's so many things to do in a show, and to get that in, we sometimes – that's where Tara comes in and says, wait.
Stop.
It's great to have somebody like that. Tell me if the two – because the two of you have worked together on the quote, post-production, right? So putting it all together in the final form. I know, for instance, if I'm mixing a band or, you know, putting all the tracks together, after about – I don't know how long it is. It varies. A certain point in time, it's almost like you've heard it too many times and you're going to change too much. It's almost better to walk away from it for a minute, let it sit, or ask a third party that hasn't been listening, you know, to the same guitar solo 100 times over the last 10 minutes.
Well, this is where, and Craig can talk more, but this is where Larry Good comes in.
Yes,
we have custom music.
Oh, wow.
And the music, it really adds to the value of everything that we're doing from on camera to shooting to the post production. But when you get to that musical part, and I've had to learn some things working in that situation where I'm putting all the tracks together audio wise, but I'm not thinking about the music anymore. But I'm thinking about Larry and his interlude music and how it comes in and comes out. So I have to think differently. Instead of putting that music in right away, I have to talk to Larry a little bit. And that music goes to Larry, or that piece goes to Larry. And while he's doing the music, I can start tightening up everything, the transitions and color and all the little things. And then when the music comes back.
So many more moving parts.
It's so many. It's a whole nother deal.
He pulls it together, and Deb will say, too. She goes, that music, if they don't like us, they're going to love the music. I mean, that's.
So he's kind of like, Larry is kind of like the Redstones version of Jan Hammer. Right?
Yeah. But he lives in Marble.
Yeah. He's a little further up there.
You go. Yeah. Well, you know.
But he's incredibly good. And he's
very good is good.
Yeah, he's worked with the high end of professional music production and TV and film. So
to bring clue everybody in on the inside joke, Jan Hammer supposedly would write 40 minutes of original music for every episode of Miami Vice.
Right.
Back in the day.
I love that.
There you go. There's another 80s
reference. You know a lot.
Reference.
You just, wow.
Yeah, but my knowledge is only about half an inch thick. Mm-hmm. It's half an inch deep and 10 million miles wide is the problem. Again, you can check out Picking to Repurpose, the first of six or maybe seven episodes on Rocky Mountain PBS starting 4 o'clock this Saturday on Rocky Mountain PBS on your TV, rmpbs.org, or on the PBS app. And you can find the local content. Do you have to pay for it, Craig? Do you know? Okay.
No, you don't have to. That's one thing great about PBS. Their content's free and how they make their money, as we talked earlier.
Well, we paid for
from
it.
From viewers like you and me.
We'll be back to wrap things up in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about a new show you can check out on Rocky Mountain PBS this Saturday. It airs at 4 o'clock, and so shortly after that, I imagine once it's done, so like 4:30, you'll be able to get it on the app and online.
I think that's how they work it, Gabe.
Okay. All right. Craig Stifter is the one of the hosts.
Right.
And
executive producer.
Okay.
Ooh, EP. We'll use the acronyms today.
And Chris Tribble is, what would you call yourself, the director?
Yeah, producer-director.
Okay. All these terms I know nothing about.
Okay. Yeah.
So Chris is the one that's filming it and responsible for putting it together. And then, of course, Craig is the boss, I guess you might say.
The star, the boss, the creator.
Just a creator is good.
Listening to how the two of you came together, would now be a good time to mention this idea I've had for the inner workings of a radio station? I just always thought that I'd make it. I'm kidding.
Wait a minute.
I'm not kidding, but...
Wasn't that a sitcom?
Well, you got
back
enough
in the
junk
80s
around here. We could do an episode in here. You see all the junk?
Yeah, so I like that. You showed that old microphone up front that's a radio. I might walk out with that one, Gabe, so you can keep an eye on me.
What's it worth to you?
Ooh. What'd you say? You paid $1?
That'd be a different show, wouldn't it? You actually might know what half the stuff is that we have, actually. With your background in electrical engineering, I've got all kinds of.
We don't want to go back there, Gabe.
Satellite receivers and.
Ooh.
LNAs.
Did we mention this show's based out of Redstone?
A couple times. But yeah, again, you may see some, what's the word I'm looking for? Scenery that you recognize. Again, it's all filmed in Colorado, Western
yes.
Colorado.
Western Colorado mainly. That's what we are.
Again, it's based kind of from the store, Tiffany's of Redstone, in mm-hmm. Redstone. So when you're talking about Redstone Boulevard, which end is it? Where is it?
Oh, we're in the heart of the boulevard. Okay. My dad bought a good building there. It's right next to the park.
Okay.
It's right. You can't miss it. So
I know exactly where you're talking about.
Little bridge goes over the river
in the
backyard.
The bridge comes right almost into our backyard. So people, like we were filming the other day in the backyard, Chris was filming. We had an audience just watching us from the bridge. So maybe a little sweat that day.
That's awesome. Chris, you know, again, I kind of touched on, I mean, you've worked for all the big networks over the years, and you know, you do stuff with Food and Wine and Ideas every summer. If you use those, all of those jobs as a context, have you ever done like a series TV show like this before?
Well, I've done, yes, I did it for the other PBS channel about 2 years ago.
Interesting.
Which was called Street Level, and it was all about Glenwood Springs. So that was a series of six shows as well. And then, of course, I did the series of Be Heard with the kids.
Right, sure.
And I've worked on series, not producing my own series, but worked on other people's productions for series. And that's how, you know, you get knowledge from doing a lot of different things. But I think it is a culmination of experience from different avenues to be able to pull this together and know exactly the elements that are necessary and that are important.
But in terms of talent and crew and time spent and resources, how does this weigh in all of that? Is it about the same? Is it more?
Well, we're a pretty skeleton crew for this first year out.
It sounds like it. I don't think a lot of people realize how many people are working behind the scenes.
Yeah, and for this one, not that many.
No, we didn't have any craft services either. There was days that, Gabe, we were starving out there.
No caterer?
No. It's like, is the restaurant open down
there?
No.
There's nothing open over there.
No, nothing open to Redstone on most days like that. But no, I think Chris is right. It was very lean, but at this point, the cost would be prohibitive to try to bring this to life. Mm. So like I said, we get this first season, which is under our belt. We get a favorable response that we're hoping, then we could build out and pull in some of those other auxiliary services to help us be more efficient and not so stressful in the future.
And you should mention our sponsors this year.
Yes, we got some great sponsors, starting with, which I love, Picken County Landfill. And that fits perfect because I do a lot of picking up there in their, not the landfill, but they have a drop-off point where people can put goodies.
I was going to say,
you're not going to see me digging through the trash. Okay. I'll let the pigeons and hawks do all that.
And the bears.
So we have Picken County Landfill. We also have Fairway Mortgage, which I love how they operate because their niche or what they're marketing to is renovating your home, which I like. So again, you're taking something and reimagine it, give it a new purpose, things in your house. And then last but not least is the Glenwood Adventure Park, the Caverns. So they stepped up too. So we really have some good local sponsors that believe in us.
Final question.
Yes.
Have you thought about how your dad would react to this show?
Oh, I was saying to Chris, I go, a lot is can't. I don't know how it's happening. My father's smiling down on me. So I think he would be he would be extremely happy. In fact, he was going to be the co-host. So he's already in there in spirit. So he would be just going nuts. And if you think I talk a lot.
our first episode is in memory.
Yeah, it's in memory of my father.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Again, you can see it at 4 o'clock this Saturday afternoon on Rocky Mountain PBS. Check it out at rmpbs.org after it airs on the TV. You can also see it on the National PBS app on your smartphone. Again, you can search for local content. And again, the name of the show is Picking to Repurpose, straight from Redstone, Colorado.
The big metropolis.
Yes, indeed. What is it, 600 year-round residents or something
maybe,
like that?
Maybe, if you're pushing it.
Depending on how many people are staying at the Redstone Inn.
Exactly, exactly.
Chris, any final thoughts from you?
I'm just really happy to do this show. I think it's very unique. It's different than what most people are going to see. And you're going to just see a real people doing real stuff. And I really enjoy that. And I'm kind of a junker myself. So
It's
very fun for me to enjoy what I'm shooting and see things and suggest things like, hey, Craig, look at that. You know, and so it's really good. It's a fun thing to be moving forward into my next phase in business, you know.
Again, starts this Saturday for at least 6 weekends and then maybe a 7th Christmas show.
We won't talk about season 2 yet, okay?
Okay.
I'm still tired.
One season at a time.
Exactly, Gabe, exactly.
What was it that Jamie Hyneman said after the first episode of MythBusters? That was fun, but I'm not sure if people are really going to enjoy this.
And oh, yeah.
What was it, 13 seasons later or something like that?
Amazing.
Maybe it wasn't that many, but you get the idea. That's something to shoot for anyway.
Yes. Ooh.
Pun intended.
I know.
They did blow up a lot of stuff on that. You're probably not going to do that so much.
No. But you never know.
Yeah.
So do you have your own website, like for the show or anything like that? Or?
The website's in development. What we're going to have in the next week is what's called a simple landing page where people can go and get information on the show in the store. And then the next couple of weeks after we get done with the final editing here, I will be working with my web developer to build out the e-commerce. Well, you could also see our stuff on Etsy or just go to Instagram at Picking to Repurpose, and we'll tell you what to do from there.
So. And there's a little more information and segments that you can see on the YouTube channel, P2R YouTube channel. It's really fun because you'll see little excerpts of the personalities of the hosts.
So again, the letter P, the number 2R, P2R.
I make it simple, Gable. Gabe, I'm sorry. I can't even talk after P2R. See, I even get caught on that one.
A Gable.
Picking to Repurpose is the name of the show. Very first one this Saturday afternoon, Rocky Mountain PBS. All the best, guys.
Thanks, Gabe,
for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day. Take care. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.